Bruce Kluger and David Slavin's satire last week was not received kindly by many of you.
Senator Bill Frist, M.D., stopped at a crash site in Florida and rendered first aid. For this, writes Dr. Sam Myrick of Jacksonville, Florida, the all things considered response was to play a parody mocking the Senate's only physician as Super Frist. When I am in an unexpected motor vehicle collision, my best hope is that someone like Dr. Frist is on the road, too.
Steve Pozak of Kimberly City, Missouri, adds, which part of Bill Frist's past was folly, vice, or stupid? Helping the car accident victims? The victims of the Capitol Hill shooting? Coming to the aid of his party? That bit of humor wasn't satire. It was mockery, ridicule, even derision. And I expect NPR to be above all three.
Michelle Norris's interview with Stanley Nelson, remembering Mamie Till Mobley, struck a chord with several listeners. One recalled a Jet magazine article telling of the 1955 murder of Mrs. Mobley Till's son, 14-year-old Emmett Till. Uri Reed of Fort Myers, Florida, writes, I was riveted by your story. My mind took me back to that grainy, yellowing photograph of Emmett. I remember his shortly cropped hair, his wide smile, and his eyes that shined with the vibrance of youth. Your story also reminded me of how cruel people can be. Thank you for the great yet sad story.
John Davies of San Antonio, Texas, found our visit with freshman Congressman Thaddeus McCotter on the day he was sworn in a fluff piece. Where is the news, he asks? Where is the perspective?
And David Marcus of Spring, Texas, found the representative's preference in music ironic. A freshman Republican congressman who does not believe the federal government should give money to the poor and whose heroes include Bob Dylan and John Lennon. As far as I know, writes Marcus, neither man wrote a song protesting the injustice of taxing dividends or estates.
And when we marked the reincarnation of the Pontiac GTO, we provoked some nostalgia and some indignation. For Tim McCoy of Placerville, California, it brought back memories of when he was 14, just got a driver's license, and his uncle let him drive his 1964 GTO convertible. That was the start of one of the most wonderful summers of my youth, he writes. God and Lady Luck were with me. I drove that car hard at times, raced my friends, took girls for rides, and did all the stupid and dangerous things boys do with cars. It was a glorious summer and the beginning of my love affair with fast cars that is alive still today.
But Jim Peters in McLean, Virginia, was appalled by our giving airtime to the new GTO, which he dismisses as a gas guzzler. He writes, President Bush is sending over 100,000 of our young men and women to fight an oil war against Iraq. Now is not the time to stick our heads in the sand and try to go retro back to the good old days.
If you feel like expressing yourself about something you've heard in our program, you can reach us at atc@npr.org. And please remember to include where you're writing us from and how you pronounce your name.